Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We have John McCartney, who's Director of Research at BNP Paribas Real Estate. And the reason he's with us is because the Economic and Social Research Institute has said that there is a chance that we may overshoot with the amount of houses that we are producing, and that by virtue of that, we could end up back in a ghost estate situation. This is a long way from what we have been being told for nigh on a decade at this point, which is that no matter how fast we paddle, we can't catch up on the demand for housing. John, you've been looking at these numbers. Do you think the ESRI has it right?
Well, I think there's no right and wrong in it, really. I mean, we had the Taoiseach come out in April and say that, in his opinion, we needed about 50,000 houses to be built per annum over the next 5 years. And since a government department has commissioned the report and the ESRI has found that we need between 35 and 53,000 over that period approximately, it's right in political terms, at least. In technical terms, nobody can say, because in order to make a determination about how many houses we're going to need in the future, we need to make a stab at predicting net inward migration. And that's just really difficult to predict for anybody, because it depends not only on labour market conditions here in Ireland, but also on labour market conditions in the countries where Irish people tend to migrate to and from, depending on economic cycles like the UK, Australia, Canada, America, and so forth. And so to predict relative economic conditions in those countries, even at a short time horizon, is very challenging, never mind to try and do it 20 or 30 years down the road. So these are really, people put a lot of weight behind them, and they're useful for people politically. They're useful for lobby groups from the construction industry that want to get subsidies to encourage building. They're useful for politicians that want to show that they're taking the housing crisis seriously and that they have the appropriate level of ambition to deal with it. But in reality, it's a shot in the dark. And anybody that's attempting to do this exercise, including the ESRI, necessarily has to rely on assumptions, and we won't know whether those are right or wrong until 20 years down the road, you know?
It's a shot in the dark with huge consequence, though, because if you get it wrong in oversupply terms, you end up with ghost estates and the depressing of what for most people is their most significant asset, as well as being their family home. And if you get it wrong on the other side, you end up with massive housing lists, inflated prices, and people unable to live near where they work.
Yeah, I mean, these are the risks, and one of the features of the construction industry really is that the supply is not very elastic. In other words, it's not that responsive to, you know, quick changes in demand conditions. And that's because of all sorts of things like long planning delays and labour limits on the labour supply, the fact that we're an island economy and getting materials, and all of those sorts of things make the construction sector, you know, quite unresponsive. It's a bit like a tanker trying to turn. And therefore, although it is really difficult to try and predict what long-term housing demand is going to be, we still do need to make a stab at it, I suppose.
I've seen Ronan Lyons present some interesting numbers. Ronan Lyons, of course, Trinity economist, where he points out that Ireland, when set against comparable Western economies, one of the defining characteristics of us over the last decades has been that we have been a population laggard, and that we are effectively catching back up in population terms. So even if we see a slowing in inward migration, are we still likely to see enough population growth to sustain housing numbers in the area of 50,000-ish per annum?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. So many of your listeners, I'm sure, would be surprised to discover that between 1951 and the onset of COVID in 2020, Ireland was actually a net exporter of human capital. So about 1,000 people per annum left the country in net terms over that period. So our default position has been net emigration. Now, the ESRI is taking a view that over the next few years, we're going to be, you know, a country that attracts a significant amount of net inward migration. So their baseline scenario is that we'll have about 35,000 net inward migration between now and 2030. And even their lowest scenario predicts that we'll have about 25,000. So it just remains to be seen. My take on it really is that there has been a surge in inward migration over the last 3 years. And that relates, I think, it seems to me, to a couple of one-off type stimuli. The first one being the unwinding of the travel restrictions once the pandemic restrictions were lifted and people who weren't able to do international travel for a period of time were able to come into Ireland. And there was probably a backlog of pent-up demand to move here, and that caused a surge. And the other thing, of course, has been the Ukraine war. We've had about 108,000 people flow into Ireland from the Ukraine. But of course, that was when we were paying €232 a week to beneficiaries of international protection when they were in state accommodation for Ukrainian nationals coming in after the middle of March. That has been drastically reduced. And of course, we've seen the inflow fade away very, very quickly. It's gone down to less than 190 per week at this stage. So the inflow of Ukraine nationals has slowed to a trickle. And of course, there are now proposals to retrospectively change the temporary protection payments for those who were here before March, in which case I think it's quite possible that we could get a net outflow of people from the Ukraine, from Ireland this year, because maybe they could go somewhere closer to home and the benefits, relatively speaking, wouldn't be as attractive. So I think what we can say is that net inward migration over the last few years has been driven up by, you know, probably passing factors, and it remains to be seen whether the SRI's prediction that it will remain strong holds true.
Although in social policy terms, are we not greatly incentivized to legislate for a certain degree of constant inward migration, given that a lot of the FDI that we have requires employees that we may not be able to provide out of the domestic economy?
Yeah, I think that is true. In any given year, in recent times, we have had a strong gross inflow of inward migration, but we have also equally had a strong outflow of emigrants as well, and that's part of Ireland's culture. And of course, that happens all the time, but it happens particularly during an economic downturn, and we don't have to go back too far to see that. So between 2010 and 2015, 108,000 people in net terms left Ireland. So the idea, you know, that Ireland shook off its status as a sort of an exporter of human capital back in the 1950s is not quite right. You know, we've had a fairly severe bout of outward migration in the not too distant past.
And what you mentioned, the elasticity and the speed at which the housing market and developers and builders can respond. We're talking about estimates of the rate of increase here. So I suppose it is greatly different than 2006 through 2009, where the rate of increase became a decrease. Let us imagine that the government begins to see, well, OK, we don't require the 50. We thought it is only 35. Does that mean that we have an 18-month, two-year lag while the market gradually gets the excess supply washed through? Or is it a bigger and longer-term problem than that?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is that these are not government targets. So the Department of Housing commissioned the ESRI to do this piece of research. It's now for the government itself to sit down and decide what the implications of this research are for its housing targets. Currently, they stand at about 33,000 units per annum, and there is a widespread expectation, and has been based on comments of the current Taoiseach and his predecessor, that that would increase. And it may well do, and the ESRI report will certainly be a factor in that. But these are not yet the government's housing targets. I think the difficulty when the government vocalises or establishes a sort of a housing target is that in any year when it undershoots the housing target, it's creating political pressure for itself, and that there will surely then be a call, for example, from the industry to say, well, we would like to build more homes, but it's not profitable to do it, and therefore you need to subsidise us to do that. And that has really been the story of the last few years. So in one sense, these are all the type of factors that that the government has to take into account when it's setting a long-term housing target, because in a sense, it's establishing a sort of a rate of housing output that it's prepared to underwrite.
Lastly, is there any lesson to be taken from this in terms of the type of housing that is provided? Because the last time we had an oversupply, it was characterised by large estates miles past the nearest dormitory town to whatever city they served. If we have an oversupply, but it's an oversupply in urban apartments, is that as bad?
Well, I suppose I'm not suggesting that we are going to have an oversupply, but I mean, I suppose any oversupply is a difficulty, and particularly in a society where about two thirds of people have housing equity, because what happens in an oversupply situation is that potential tenants and house buyers have the whip hand in negotiations, and prices drop. But equally, there are positives there too, because people get a lower cost of housing. So, you know, these things tend to sort of even themselves out. And I would say, as per the type of housing, the price will just adjust based on consumer preferences. And if there is, let's for argument's sake, say a surplus of apartments relative to houses, the price of renting and buying apartments will fall relative to the price of renting and buying houses, and people then will respond to that and move into those properties.
John, thank you very much. John McCartney there, Director of Research at BNP Paribas Real Estate. A text to say, you're ignoring the increasing surge due to climate change, which is not temporary. Another, regarding oversupply, if that happens, the government can just go into ghost estates, finish them off and turn them into social housing and bank them for the future, just like they were advised to do in 2008. I think we'd be better to be looking at the houses than for them, build away. And another, we have an ageing demographic, so we will need inward migration for our economy. The climate crisis will see mass immigration. We also want vibrant growth across all sectors. We definitely need more housing. Any report now saying we'll have too many homes is trying to maintain property prices ahead of an election. I'm curious to understand the rationale, but I think the ESRI's independence would argue against that, and they would say simply this is the numbers as they see them.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.